Well, Runaway Bay seems like an unlikely setting for a grisly murder. But for a young Meg Van, it's where she started to dream of the perfect crime. Now, author Meg Van has turned her love of dark characters into a career, writing thrillers and even founding a Queensland chapter for Sisters in Crime. She's going to share her knowledge at Southport Library next month, but she joins me now to tell me her story. Good morning, Meg.
Good morning, Amy. I must say, that is the best, most atmospheric intro I have ever received. Thank you. You've made my day.
I know, it sounds so sinister. And this morning, Josie, Weekend's producer, came in and we were talking about talking to you and playing the Law and Order theme song and saying, it's not really what you think of when you think of Runaway Bay. So Meg, you still live at Runaway Bay?
Look, unfortunately, no.
I visit
the Gold Coast. I know. I'm a traitor. I'm in Brizzy now.
Okay.
So you'll see me in my jeans and Ugg boots down on the beach sometimes on
Lovely.
The Gold Coast.
Lovely. Yes.
But I still have many, many dear family and friends on the Gold Coast, many of whom are listening today, so big shout out.
Hello, crime fans.
Yes, many. Look, there's a lot of, you know, what I like to call dark acts in brightly lit places on the Gold Coast.
I love it.
Inspiring place for the budding crime writer or reader.
How was your love of crime first sparked?
Well, I guess I was just born interested in people's motives. So I'm still to this day, and even as a child, any room I walked into, any social situation, sporting situation, I observe everyone and try and figure out why they're there and what they're doing there and what they want out of a situation. So, of course, I'd be a fabulous politician, but I didn't choose to go that way. I was always drawn to the way that stories make sense of the world for us. And
yes.
So, and also I was raised by, well, I like to say raised by wolves, but really, raised by lawyers.
Same diff.
So I was raised with a really sharp sense of justice and a bruised heart around injustice. So
yes.
I've always sort of had something to say about that.
I see. So you were talking about how you would walk into a room and size up a situation. Mm. Does that make you suspicious of everyone?
It makes me curious, Amy. Ah. People need not worry when they meet me. I'm not looking at them and measuring
Meg's
them
profiling me.
Nor I'm near. I'm not profiling them. Oh, I might be a little.
Just a tad.
But it makes, and I think this is true of all writers, but particularly crime writers, we are very curious beasts. We like to know, we observe odd details that sometimes the casual observer might not notice.
Mm.
And, of course, it's all fodder for our stories, but it comes from a more authentic human interest in really understanding what people's fears and desires are and to what lengths they go to avoid or achieve them.
How much do you have to get into the headspace of a killer?
Look, very deeply. One thing I will say is that because I write literary thrillers that are based around relationships, I am very passionate about voicing lesser heard voices in my stories.
Oh, yes.
So often it's the perspectives of women and girls that I'm voicing through my stories who are certainly powerful characters but may be troubled by gendered violence in their world. But I also, it's very much about getting into what it feels like to fear crime and to try and take control over your own safety to protect yourself. But also to write that and really bring it to life. I mean, one of my stories, I had to get right into the character of, a lovely, gentle, middle-aged gentleman working as a security guard who developed an inappropriate and overly devoted attachment to a much younger woman working in his workspace, which happened to be set where I used to work. And so I was interviewing the security guards at my work.
Didn't you work at the ABC at one stage?
I did indeed. So
was
I'm
it?
Looking forward to murdering a few people in my imagination in the ABC studios.
See, that thought never crosses my mind.
No, never, I'm sure.
I'm joined today by Meg Van. She's a crime writer. Initially, of course, you started out at the very fine Runaway Bay, one of our favourite suburbs,
and one of my published stories is actually set on Turrajee over on South Stratty, where these two teenagers go for a very adventurous walk from the southern to the northern tip of South Stradbroke Island.
I'm just putting the theme down for you as you explain the synopsis.
Wonderful.
Keep talking.
And it's that beautiful sense. One thing I loved about growing up on the Gold Coast was there was a very wild element to it. There was lots of dangerous play of being out in boats and watercraft and exploring deserted islands in the Broadwater, or tackling the second line of breakers at the back of the surf. And that has, I think, put a quite distinct enrichment into the way I tell my crime stories, because of that attachment to the natural beauty, but also the wildness and the risk of it. So it was, yeah, fabulous place to start out as a crime writer.
Meg Van, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, it was also a tricky place to grow up as, you know, well, let's be honest, I was a bookish nerd with thick thighs and brown hair. And so I wasn't viewed as a prize asset in my teens on the Gold Coast, although I've, you know, matured into a beautifully handsome woman.
I can well imagine.
But it meant that I also had that sense of being a bit of an outsider and a bit vulnerable and a few troubled corners to my psyche, which is fabulous to be able to put to work in a career.
Yes. Look, I don't know whether you've seen the show Riverdale.
Yet. I'm wearing a Jughead beanie.
I was going to say, are you like Jughead?
I knitted it myself. If people go to my Instagram, just Meg Van Instagram, Mum Guilt, there's a photo of me wearing my Jughead beanie that I knitted for myself while I'm doing this interview.
Get out. You're wearing it right now?
I'm wearing it right now.
Because I was going to say that, you know, lurking in the corners, lurking in the shadows, just looking out, observing, narrating. That's what Jughead does in, not so much in the comics.
They've redone. I mean, I think the comics nowadays comics are very different to what, you know, I remember from my childhood.
Me
they're
too.
Much more what's called noir. They're much more about shadow and light, both realistically in terms of the lighting of the Riverdale show is very shadowy, but also that, again, mixed motives of humans being in both the shadow and the light, that, you know, because of, you know, our great love and desire for the people in our world, we go to great lengths and sometimes commit criminal or morally questionable acts to protect or pursue those we love. And that's really the heartland of the stories that I love to write. It's what's called nowadays domestic noir.
Domestic noir.
Your listeners will recognise any book, basically, with the word girl in the title. Gone Girl, Girl on
Gone
the Train.
Gone Girl, yes.
Girl in Teller's Way, the girl who can't lie.
Absolutely, yes. It just equates to domestic noir.
That's what we call it, relationship thrillers, but in the biz we call it domestic noir. And that's what I love to write because, as I said, I love to tell the lesser heard voice. And I think domestic noir is the right, you know, and on a serious note, I think that one of the things that crime stories do beautifully is they really address, you know, tragedy and injustice that we see in the world around us, both in the news and in our private lives and private losses. And so crime stories literally make order and make sense of those violent acts and fantasies that can happen. And, of course, we're living in a culture of an increased interest in domestic violence, and we're seeing it reported much more often, and it's a very tragic and important issue in contemporary society. So it's no surprise, then, that domestic noir and relationship thrillers are a real point of cultural fascination, and there's a great appetite for crime readers to read into that area, as well, of course, as all of the wonderful other crime stories there are, police procedurals, forensics, you name it.
It's there, and you've read it probably, or written it. Now, right. I wanted to ask you, Meg, you know, I read a lot of Manette Walters, and when I read her work, and all of the pieces fall together and you think, oh, that's how they did that, or that's why she did that, it makes me think, geez, Minette Walters has got the kind of mind, with that kind of mind, she could probably go out and, I don't know, bump off a few people. Have you worked out the perfect crime yourself? And have you ever murdered anyone?
Well, look, let's just say no.
In your mind.
Because I'm on public radio, so that's fine. But in my mind, well, look, let me tell you a brief anecdote that might illustrate how I live. So my husband came home one day to find me grinding up some white powder in the mortar and pestle that we used to make our pesto.
Oh, hello.
And he looked at me and said, you know, should I eat dinner tonight? Because what I'd done was I had done some research, and that's one of the ways that Minette Walters and all of those wonderful crime writers write those really compelling stories. There's two elements to it. There's the craft of writing,
yes,
and then there's the research. And I was doing some research. And one of the great things is that people all around us are fonts of information for crime writers.
Yes.
I bumped into a friend of mine who was a pharmacist and said, now, if I wanted to bump off my husband. Now, it's for a story.
Just hypothetically.
To bump off my husband and say he was on medication for, you know, some benign common thing that people are often on medication for, say some sort of heart condition or something like that.
Yeah.
What could I do? And so she gave me this wonderful information about, oh, well, you know, if they're on, you know, nitroglycerin, NTG for the heart, then they can take this other chemical that's very commonly found. It's in a common tablet, and that would interact badly with the medicine and more than likely lead to an undetectable, you know. But then I had to figure out the dosage, and so I was now badly Googling, but that didn't work. So I literally had to go and get the Panadol or the ibuprofen out of the cupboard and grind it up in a mortar and pestle and see, now, could I dissolve that in a tea or would I need to bake it in a scone? So that's how we write those stories.
Is that right? Look, or some kind of pharmaceutical hotline. Look, trying to poison the husband, just wondering, 2 teaspoons or 1?
Right.
But it does make for an interesting domestic life.
It does.
Interesting marriage.
My long-suffering husband and family and friends they've been great. They've always, you know, accepted that I do have weird curiosities and occasionally violent fantasies, but that it's all in the service of art or entertainment, and that it's never with a malicious bone in my body.
Oh,
it's always about creating those really twisty, compelling stories. And crime readers are super smart and switched on. So they demand not just what's current scientific and criminological information, but what's around the corner as well. So you almost need to be talking to experts who are working with the cutting edge of technology and investigative procedure, so that by the time your book comes out, you know, a year or more after you write it, you're really delivering new and fresh and novel ways of making sense of violence and of bringing a sense of order and justice to the world, to the real monsters that are, you know, among us. So, yes, it's an interesting life.
You're so vivacious for what I imagine a crime writer to be.
Well,
I don't think I've ever met a crime writer.
Oh, well, look, it's the funny thing. They are the most happy, well-adjusted, generous and kind people you'd ever want to meet.
Because they're facing their fears.
I think it's cathartic. I think we get all our demons out in our stories. And so we can just be light, easy and hilarious
That's
in our everyday
right.
lives.
That's right. Come in, have a scone. Oh, not that one. Meg Venn, you will be talking at Southport Library on July 15th.
That's right. I'm really looking forward to it. I'll be at Southport doing a bit of an interactive seminar. So there'll be a few workshop exercises where people can actually flex their creative writing muscles.
Good.
And we'll also be exploring some fascinating topics together. I'll be looking at some rich kind of research tools. We'll be exploring some of those darker corners. And we'll also be talking about the great history of crime fiction all the way, you know, back from Sherlock Holmes and all the way through to the current day and the many and varied types there of crime fiction there are. So it's a great way for fans of crime fiction for readers to be able to, what I call, put their x-ray specs on and view the bones of the stories that they love and understand what makes them tick. And certainly for budding crime writers or crime writers who are wanting to improve their craft, it's usually a really great session. So I'm looking forward to having a lot of fun with everyone who turns up.
It sounds intriguing and fascinating. Meg Van can be easily recognised at Southport Library on that day because you will be wearing a Jughead beanie.
I usually wear scarlet red.
Watch out. So people can't see the bloodstains on your blouse.
Right. So I'm really delighted that Queensland Writers' Centre and Gold Coast Libraries have put together this program. I think it's going to be lots of fun, and Gold Coast Libraries are doing wonderful things with writers and readers. I can't recommend them highly enough for people to get along. And Queensland Writers' Centre's doing a few more crimey kind of events later this year too. So on the Gold Coast Libraries website or the Queensland Writers' Centre website, there's lots of good stuff for the crime writers and readers out there.
Meg Van, it has been such a pleasure to speak with you.
You too, Amy. You've made my day.
Let me just ease you out with a bit of Law and Order.
I'll do my best.
Thanks, Meg.
Thanks,
great
Amy.
To meet you. Cheers. That's Meg Van. She'll be talking at Southport Library on July 15th. And to head along and hear more, book online at cityofgoldcoast.com.au/library event.